Hello everybody, I'm George Miner. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. This is talking about Sir Keir Starmer, the first Lord of the Treasury, but not for much longer. So Sir Keir Starmer's been in trouble for a long time, having the worst approval ratings of any Prime Minister, worse than Liz Truss. I don't know her ill start 49-day premiership when she single-handedly tanked the economy. So it's staggering that he's even more unpopular than she is. He's at least had a few successes in some foreign policy areas or domestic policy. I mean, I don't know, the economy's not in that terrible shape. And it just got a lot worse for him with his Peter Mandelson thing. So obviously Peter Mandelson gone as ambassador to the United States a couple of months ago. But that file dump of the Epstein files, the correspondence about Mandelson, is a lot worse than we thought. To Peter Mandelson, in case you don't know, he's been a major figure in Labour Department for 40 years, their director of communications back in the 80s, to holding two different cabinet posts under Tony Blair, and then was made a peer by Gordon Brown, brought back in the cabinet again. He screwed it up every single time. And then appointed ambassador to the United States. And usually you'd appoint a career diplomat. So this was very much Starmer's choice. He could have left it largely up to Her Majesty's Foreign Service themselves, but he didn't. And he disregarded expert advice. There was even a memorandum from inside the Labour Party from Lord Maurice Glassman urging him not to appoint him, saying there are reputational risks, that his friendship with Jeffrey Epstein and others is deeply unsavory, and this could really explode, and it has. And so he overrode advice, even from people in his own cabinet, to do it. Partly Morgan McSweeney, his chief of staff, is behind it. I shudder to mention a Corkman, and that McSweeney is detested by lots of Labour MPs, demanding he will go. So far, Starmer's sticking by him. So I don't think quite Starmer's going to go just now. Obviously, his days are numbered. It's a matter of time. We're just over 3 months away from Super Thursday, the local elections in England, the Scottish parliamentary elections, the Welsh Senate elections, and Labour looks as like it's going to get a drubbing in all three. But if Labour does want to kick him out, bring in a new prime minister, that would probably be a six-week leadership battle, unless they had just unite around a single candidate of a coronation, like the Tories managed to do with Rishi Sunak. But if so we've got, say, roughly 12 weeks to go. And if they got a new prime minister in with 6 weeks before the local elections, that could give them a bit of a bump. That could actually help. But they can't leave it much longer. You don't want the leadership battle to be going on during those local elections, during the campaign or around, you know, still ongoing on the 7th of May. So if he survives till the end of February, he's probably safe to the morning of the 8th of May when the results filter in. So, you know, I already gave predictions. What percentage chance that he's still prime minister on the 7th of May? I reckon 60%. What chance that he's prime minister by the end of this year? About 10%. What chance that Starmer leads Labour into the next general election in 2028 or beyond? I think that's about 5%. He was already deeply unpopular, was muttering in the ranks, they're now mutinous. But Wes treating the health secretary on the right of the party, he's standard bearer of the Blairite. Some people are urging him to go, but that could be the kiss of death. People saying, oh, he's the one, seen as perhaps too young, too self-regarding, thrusting, and so on. He's an effective media performer, so he's, you know, telegenic. And he's got that, you know, sob story of a background. Likewise, Angela Rayner has got one. I mean, Labour really has a moist literature in their deprived childhoods. It doesn't mean that, you know, a multimillionaire is like Angela Rayner is going to give a brass farthing of hers to needy people. It doesn't mean she's actually going to pay the right amount of stamp duty or anything like that. So she's a standard bearer of the left, and she's the one who's wrecking the economy, making it impossible to employ people. But the problem is His Majesty's Revenue Customs Service report hasn't come in on her. What if the Prime Minister says, yep, she lied, did a tax cheat? That could be a big problem for her. And plus, she's thick. I mean, Streeting. I could just about live with him. I mean, evil bastard that he is, he's not stupid. Hello there, viewers. Whereas she just would be an international disgrace, Angela Rayner. That would kill me if she became prime minister, the way many Labour people felt about Boris Johnson. Goodness. So get rid of Starmer. Okay, that's easy. Step one. Step two, who else? That's the problem. That's what's saving him for the moment. And there's Ed Miliband. Why would he have a retread to someone who was a loser from like 10 years ago? Isn't he just a slightly younger version of Starmer? He's pale, male, stale, straight, a Londoner. No. Streeting will be seen as a minority hire because he's gay. Angela Rayner, they never had a woman as leader, blah, blah, blah. A completely uneducated person. They probably think that's impressive somehow. Goodness. So she said she's John Prescott in a skirt, reassuring to Labour supporters as in she's identifiably working class. Starmer started out working class. So there's no reason why you shouldn't be highly educated and successful like him before you go into politics. So there are all sorts of problems with appointing Mandelson. But Mandelson is a Labour aristocrat. It's not often mentioned now, but his grandfather was Herbert Morrison, a very honourable Labour figure, born in real poverty in the 19th century, and rose through London County Council, the chairman of that in the 1930s, a Labour MP, and to be Deputy Prime Minister under the Attlee government just after the Second World War. And he was actuated by the right thing. So, you know, as such a brown noser of Mandelson, you would say, why didn't he join the Conservative Party? But I suppose he had just Labour links and growing up in Hampstead, a very au bourgeois suburb, but very Labour voting. And there was a very telling article by is it Alison Pearson, the Daily Telegraph today, how he was clearly scanning the room for the mightiest person, the most affluent person, and just be brown-nosing them. He'd always suck up and kick down. He's just vile, and he's reviled by swathes of people in the Labour Party. I remember Tony Blair said the New Labour's revolution wouldn't be completed till the Labour Party came to love Peter Mandelson. So Peter Mandelson is well-versed in the dark arts of media manipulation. So he's very conceited. Even his worst enemy wouldn't say he's thick. He's highly intelligent in the academic sense, but also emotionally intelligent and in terms of manipulation. And he thought he'd get away with it. And he did get away with it for a very long time. All these unethical payments, £383,000 in 1998 that he forgot about, didn't declare in the register members' interests. And astonishing, was cleared of any wrongdoing when it's blatantly wrongdoing. And, you know, obviously there was a clear conflict of interest between his department investigating Geoffrey Robinson when Robinson was his creditor and loads of things. And he's always misused his position to help the puissant and the super rich, a management style of government. So he's extremely avaricious and believes that the world owes him a life of luxuriance. And so he's someone who would always suck up to the powerful. He is just so saponaceous, a smooth-talking flatterer, would say exactly the right thing. And there was a certain logic to boarding an ambassador to the USA because he could build a good relationship with the Trump administration, which was a rather tricky mission. And he succeeded in that because he was willing to lay flattery on with the trowel. He was a sickening sycophant, which is just what Trump likes. And that was fairly successful for a while. We now know he's giving market-sensitive information away to his friend Jeffrey Epstein. He was friends with Epstein years after Epstein was convicted of sexually abusing, was a 15-year-old. Things like that, said that he was Epstein's my best pal, I love you, stuff like this. So many people said that's absolutely monstrous. And Starmer knew about the close relationship, but appointed him anyway. So that is a gross failure of judgment. I mean, I don't even mind that much that he stayed friends with Epstein. I know Epstein was a bad guy, but I mean, Epstein was useful otherwise. What I really object to is deliberately leaking secret documents to Epstein to enrich him. And then his mate Oleg Deripaska, the Russian aluminium billionaire, cutting aluminium duty and imports to the European Union that enriched Deripaska to the tune of tens of millions of euros. But now you could argue that was an economically sound policy and it wasn't due to this friendship. And it hasn't proved there's a financial relationship between the two. But certainly he's been grossly corrupt. His misconduct of public office is breached the Official Secrets Act and. So he's a traitor. He's finally finished at the age of 72, Lord Peter Mandelson. Well, really despicable. I always detested him. And now we see what he's like. And he's always, his enemies have been legion in the Labour Party, but he had very powerful friends. And as he said himself, for a while, it was a triumvirate around the United Kingdom. It was Tony Blair, Gordon Brown, who's then Chancellor Exchequer, and Peter Mandelson III. And that's probably true. And remember William Hague saying Mandelson was the real Deputy Prime Minister, not John Prescott. And there's a large measure of truth in that, but, you know, that they should have moved on. So it was a big screw up by Starmer, and he'll pay a heavy price. But I don't think he's finished just yet. And they lack the courage of their convictions. If Andy Burnham was going to become an MP in a few weeks' time, there's another man, then he might have challenged him, but he's not even the candidate. And by the way, it's one of the reasons why I now changed my mind. Labour is going to lose the Gordon and Denton by-election. I'll do that in another video. I wasn't sure. The opinion polls are convinced me. And this is just the last nail in the coffin. All right. Thanks very much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecannon7@gmail.com. Goodbye.